morning we have imported a preacher from Joburg. We've had Ewald here since the beginning. I think it was last year, January, the last weekend of January. We restarted this church and Ewald was preaching. So what a privilege to still have him come here regularly and experience what God is doing, not man, what God is doing here. So dear, what's a privilege? Can I pray for you? We thank you, Father, for dear Lord. We thank you for this gift that you have given to the body. We bless him this morning with your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for a heart that is soft for you and that is yielded to you. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying this morning. In Jesus' name.
Good morning, church. Let me get all my notes open before we begin. It feels like I'm part of the furniture around here at this stage. But, so my name is Dewald. I'm the youth leader, youth pastor, whatever you want to call me, at Shofar Johannesburg. And it's always a privilege for me to be here. Like I tell Marius and Gerda when I arrived here yesterday, it's so special for me just to be able to just come and serve here once in a while. And really see how you guys are growing. I've been here when there was 5 and I've been here when there's 45. And God is always just like multiplying, always being faithful in what he's doing. And it's always just amazing to see how God is moving. So really on my heart for this morning, I wanna address it. I really feel like God wants to come and address almost like a trap we as Christians step into. Really out of a place of not always knowing that we're doing it, but also out of a place of we can't always identify how it looks. So I want to just come talk to you guys a little bit about this morning is religion versus relationship. And what's the difference between the two? I think before I get to it, I just want to pray, just calm the nerves a bit and then we'll jump into it. Lord, thank you that I can just be here this morning. Father, thank you for the joy overflowing, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for the privilege I have of just serving your people. Lord, it's such a privilege just to come and just honor you and glorify you. And I pray, Lord, that you would really just come and speak to the hearts of the people in front of me, Father. Lord, help me to communicate your word. Help me, Lord God, to honor you, Lord God, with this sermon. Oh Lord, because at the end of the day, Lord, it's about you. So just thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Alright, so a big journey that I've been walking this past couple of months, especially with the people in Randburg and especially with my youth, is we don't always understand what relationship is with Jesus Christ. We've got this idea of we want to be at church and we want to be at youth and we can be at small group and those that are free events of the week. Okay, church ticked. Let's go on. But God has made it so much more for us, right? And so I think it was 2 weeks back, my mom found this old photo album. And she's like sending all these photos on our family group. She's like, look, Dewald, you're looking just like your dad here. Look, Dewald, you're resembling me a little bit here. Oh, look this, look that. I'm like, sure. Very weird. I immediately went on WhatsApp and I put my automatic download function off. right? Otherwise, my phone is going to freak out completely. Okay? And then I just like look for one or two and I downloaded those. But in that moment, it struck me. It was like, yes, I do look like my dad a bit. Yes, I've got the ways of the ways of my dad doing things. I inherited most of those things because I spent time with him while he was doing it. The way I think, the way I sometimes react to certain things. Yes, it's changed, but the ground root of my dad and my mom, like doing things, it came in there, right? And it just took me back to like, I'm doing these things because I've got relationship with them. Does that make sense? And so this morning I want to talk to you guys quickly out of John 5. And from verse, I just want to get my verses right. John 5 verse 50. And Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And as judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. This is another who bears witness about me, and I know the testimony that he bears about me is true. And just above that, he also just comes in and he says, in verse 19, he comes back and he says, and Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. And we see how Jesus is just explaining the beauty of relationship with his Father. How Jesus is coming in and he says, I'm not speaking out of my own will. I'm not speaking because I want to say something. I'm speaking because I see my Father is saying it already. And there's a closeness of relationship that we have to be extremely intimate with a person to understand what they're thinking before they think it. And move in unity with them, if that makes sense, right? And so from that space, Jesus says, I'm so intimate with my Father that only what he says, I'm going to say. Only what he does, I am going to do. And then the question that I ask myself is, do I have that same intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Do I understand what relationship is? Right? Because we also have to understand, and Christians have to try and figure this out a little bit, but there's a right and a wrong relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? Wrong relationship, to put it simple, is we only spend time with God when we need it. It's only when things are going tough. Right? Only when things are really like falling apart. Oh, Jesus, help! Now I want to step into the... Now I want you to come and step into my boat. Now I want to get you into my life. Oh, now things are going rough. It's a consumer relationship. And unfortunately, the world has almost like, in a sense, discipled us in this. That if we are good, then we are okay on our own. If things are going bad, okay, now we need someone or something bigger to step in and help. Right? Consumer relationship is a tit-for-tat relationship. Lord, I can give you this so that you can give me that. Have you guys ever done this in your lives? Like, just started bargaining with God? Okay, Lord, I will do this for the next 3 weeks. I just need you to get through and do this quickly situation for me. Help me with this quickly. And then when that is done, okay, Lord, I don't need you anymore. Thanks. It was good trading with you. Let's move on. Right? Have you guys experienced that? I know in my naivety, I've done that so many times, Lord. So many times I'm like, okay, Lord, especially in high school, before maths test, right? Okay, Lord, now's the time, right? Show up now. I like studied a little bit, but it's that thing of you bring your best, or you bring the little you got and God will do everything else, right? You guys experienced that before? I've done it so many times. And then when I stepped into a relationship with God, it was almost like this conviction, like, I'm not the magic genie. You're not going to rub this lamp and then yeah, I appear. And most Christians, or I want to say most people, think that that's how God works. We've got this idea of God wants to only love us. He only wants to do this. He only wants to do that. I can only call on him when it's necessary. But is that what Jesus is portraying in the scripture? I don't think so. Because if Jesus didn't have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, if Jesus didn't have an intimate relationship with the Father, he won't be able to know what God is doing. And because if that happens, his whole ministry falls flat on his face. Does it make sense? So, wrong relationship, consumerism, we just get what we need and get on and move on. We treat God like a pick and pay, right? I'll pick and roll, I'll pay later. Eh? Right relationship? What does that look like? Right relationship, Jesus Christ, is a constant walk. It's a constant surrender. It's a constant seeking. But we've come to a place where we're like almost like tired in a sense. I'm over this thing of I constantly have to be at God's feet. I'm over this thing of I constantly have to do this or I constantly have to do that. And I think the communication from pastors all around is actually just a little bit almost wrong. Because we communicate. If you go to church, you have to spend time with God. You have to do this. You have to do that. You have to, right? And then people, when they hear, I have to do something, immediate reaction, I rebel. I will not do what you tell me. I have to nothing. Right? That's how we react. I have to nothing. I will not do this. I know it's good for me, but I'm not going to do it because you said I'm going to do it. I will rebel now. I will do my own thing. I will walk on my own way. I will do my own thing. But right relationship with God starts with God. And then there's not a have to, there's a want to. Right? When we have a relationship with God, it comes down to a place of, I actually want to go to church. I want to spend time with God. I want to be in quiet time. I want to be in intercession. I want to go on missions. I want to. Because out of relationship flows the passion for Jesus. But there's a space where we all, like, all of us, and I'm including myself, come to a place where we're like, we overserve. Have you guys heard of that term? We overserve. We overcommit. We over this, we over that. And then it just becomes, to an extent, really just busyness. And that's where religion comes in. Right? Then we go over into religion. We go over into a place of saying, if I serve, then God will hear me. If I do this, then I will have a more intimate relationship with God. If I am at intercession every Wednesday and every Sunday and every whenever the time is, if I'm there, then this, this, and this. And we don't do it out of a place of, I want to now start a religion. We do out of a place of, I have a passion of God, but I don't always know how to steward it. And hear my heartiness, I'm not saying intercession is bad, I'm not saying serving is bad, I'm not saying that really committing to the church is bad. We have to do that, and we want to do that. But we also have to look at our capacity. Because there's that old saying, I know I've said it here before, it's that old saying of, It's becoming so busy with things of God that you forget about the God of the things. And that's where relationship comes in. Is that ability to actually tell God, Lord, I want to be at this session, I want to lead the youth, I want to do this, I want to do that. But Lord, I just feel I can't get to everything. I'm missing you in this. And then just saying, okay, Lord, I'm taking one step back. I'm not going to commit to all of it. I'm going to commit to one thing, and I'm going to serve you faithfully in that one thing. Because that's what relationship is about. It's about communication, right? It's about us being able to talk to God and say, Lord, I am overwhelmed. Lord, I don't know how this looks. And it's not just on a Sunday when we sit here. It's an everyday walk. I think sometimes when people stop next to me in traffic there in Johannesburg, they think I'm completely crazy. Just sitting there talking to myself, just expressing my emotions to God, coming out of a meeting and I'm so frustrated. And I just sit in my car, I'm like, Lord, why do these people have to do this constantly? Like, I'm so irritated right now. And I have this conversation with the Lord wherever I go, walking in Spar. Just like talking to myself, okay, Lord, I need to get this and this. I still need to remember to call that person. And just like talking to God constantly. And it took me years of getting over myself to an extent to get to that place. Years of saying, you know what, I don't care if Marius judges me while I walk in Spar talking to myself. It's okay, you know. Marius will get over himself. I have to talk to God. I want to talk to God. If that's in Spar, or if that's while I'm driving my car, or if that's while I'm just sitting in front of the TV, just watching something. It's a constant talk with God, and intimacy with God. Intimacy doesn't stop when you walk out of church on a Sunday morning. Does that make sense? And for us, we have to realize that church is not an event. Church is a community. Church is the hand of God moving in our community. And reality for us is we are that church. Does that make sense? So where the world wants to come and say, do this and you'll be loved. Or do that and you'll be accepted. The gospel comes in and says, because I've loved you and because I've accepted you, you are going to do this. Does that make sense? It's that simple image of when you look at the story of the lost son in Luke 15, where the son said, I'm going to ask my father for my inheritance, take my inheritance, and then run away, right? And then afterwards he comes back in an attempt to throw himself on the floor and say, I'm not good enough anymore. And the father comes and says, I don't care how you see yourself, I'm still going to love you. Not because of the father trying to show something to the servant, but because of the relationship he built with that son. So even in our rebellion, even when we are not patient, waiting on God, waiting on what God is saying, walking in relationship with Him, even in those moments, we can actually just come back to the Lord, and the Lord is not going to say, hey, go live there in the staff quarters for a while, and kick you there to the side and say, cool down, take a breath, and then come back. No, even in our rebellion, God accepts us. He comes back to us. He loves us. But then some of us are like the oldest son in that story, who says, I've got everything, but I'm not in a place where I want to accept anything. In Luke 15, we see at the end of the story, it says the older brother came to his father and it says, I've been living and working for you faithfully, and you haven't even given me a little lamb so that I can celebrate with my friends. And some of us are working in that relationship where God has given us everything, and it's all around us, but we are not in a place where we want to actually take it. we're walking in a almost like a box relationship, but we place the box around ourselves. And God wants to ask us to step into relationship, and not just limited relationship, but intimate relationship, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a personalness that God is calling us. I mean, when God says, I created you in your mother's womb, I've created you in my image, male and female, I've created you. When he says that, he's talking about relationship. Right relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's a little quote that Pastor Henny gave me here, and he says, rules without right relationship lead to rebellion. But right relationship is impossible without rules. What does that mean? That means that we have to understand that God has placed boundaries for us. He has given us the Ten Commandments. He has said, do not worship another God except for me. Do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery. Not to punish us, not to put chains around our legs, but to actually give us freedom to live in Him. Right? When Paul says, I've died to self and I live in Christ, the relationship Paul had with Jesus was on such another level. The intimacy he had with Jesus was on such another level that he knew what Jesus wanted to do, how it looked, what he was going to go through, and was willing to die for that. Not because he was in a boxed relationship, but because he understood the freedom he had within the confines of Christ. And on the other spectrum, you've got the Pharisees that wanted to tell everyone, no, you have to keep the Sabbath, you have to keep this festival, you have to do that, you have to do this, you have to do this. And people cannot obtain the level of rules that was put in place. So that's why Jesus Christ came. He say, you are not under the law anymore. And how many of us try to put ourselves under the law? Many times I have to tell myself, it's okay if you make a mistake. It's okay if you mess up someone's name accidentally. It's okay if you don't play the drums correctly on a Sunday morning. Because the rules I placed myself under was, I don't want to be a stumbling block to anyone. And I don't want to be a stumbling block for worship. And I fell on my face a few times. And I missed the beat a few times. But in relationship, I had to talk things through with God. And God had to come and say, you have grace. You are allowed to make mistakes. Because religion wants to keep us law-bound. It wants to keep us in a tightly wound space where if we don't do enough, we don't feel enough. Where God is saying, I've done it all already, you can be enough because of me. Religion wants to kill our spirits and keep us in a place of almost like forced obedience. Where God says, I've loved you, I've died on the cross for you. And our relationship, obedience flows. Does that make sense? So I want to ask us a question this morning, and I want to really ask us to be honest with ourselves. Just in the essence of, where do we find ourselves this morning? Are we actually walking a road with Jesus Christ, fully committed, fully surrendered before Him? Or are we still chastising ourselves? Taking ourselves out of community, taking ourselves out of God's presence because we didn't do enough this week. We weren't good enough. we missed a ministry opportunity. We missed something like we felt God was saying, and we were too afraid to do it. And now we're like, okay, well, I can't do anything else anymore. Are we in that space? Or are we walking a road of God where we can say, you know what, it's okay if I make a mistake. It's okay if I mess up once or twice. I can still come back to Jesus. I can, like the lost son, come back to Jesus. And I just want to quickly read for you just that lost son portion and the one thing that hit me extremely hard. Just want to find it here quickly. In verse 17 it says that when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger." And NIV says, when he finally came to his senses, he got up out of the big pit that he was serving in that moment, and he ran to his father. How many of us need to get out of our big pits, out of our mud pits, and say, "Lord, I choose relationship with you. I choose relationship. I choose to surrender myself. I choose to die to self." In a very large essence, we have to choose these things. Me and Marius were driving yesterday and here to the little shopping center here. And as I was driving in, a car just cut me off completely. And I told Marius, the flesh in this one is really, I just want to get out of my car now, right? But I have to choose to forgive now. I have to choose the relationship with Jesus Christ. I have to choose this, right? Because in that moment, I was like, "Lord, just help me now, right? Just help me breathe right now, okay?" But out of relationship with Jesus Christ, forgiveness flows as well. It's because of relationship. It's because of relationship that we can say, "Lord, I am the clay and you are the potter. You are the potter, not me." It's because of that. Does that make sense? So in this moment, I want to ask you guys the question again. Where are you at? Are you allowing yourself to walk in a relationship with Jesus? Are you allowing yourself to be fully immersed in Jesus Christ? Are you saying, "Lord, you know what, I'll walk in a relationship with you, just don't touch these things. Lord, I'll walk in a relationship with you, but don't touch my pornography addiction or my alcoholism. Like, I'm not ready to give those things to you yet." It's out of relationship that freedom flows. Our relationship, right relationship with Jesus Christ, that we can experience who God is. It's out of intimacy with Him that we can walk in freedom.